With children and immigration in the news, there's a kids' book out that seems particularly timely. In Kelly Yang's novel Front Desk, Mia Tang is a 10-year-old girl from China. She lives with her parents at the Cala Vista Home Motel in California. And even though the Cala Vista is only 5 miles from Disneyland, Mia's existence is no fairy tale. For a meager salary, her parents clean the motel's rooms while Mia is in charge of the front desk. A 10-year-old helping to run a motel might seem unbelievable, but Front Desk was inspired by Kelly Yang's own life. Kelly, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
So that moment when your parents said, "We are going to America," how did they break that to you? What were you thinking?
I was shocked, you know. I mean, I didn't really know that much about it. And they said, "Yeah, we're going to go to America. You know, we're going to have a new life. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have freedom and a house with a dog." And it just seemed like a dream come true.
And how old were you?
I was 6.
So I'm looking at the top of your Twitter feed, and pinned right there is a school report card and a letter from your teacher. And it starts like this. Yang entered Shiraz February the 19th, 1991. She could speak, underlined, no English. How did you manage?
It was horrible. I didn't speak a word of English, not even the word girl, which as a girl, that's really bad. You can't even find the bathroom. And I remember the teacher had another student translate for me. This was another Chinese kid. But for some reason, he didn't want to translate half the time what I was saying. And so I was just like a mute, just sort of sitting there, and I couldn't get what I wanted, and I couldn't advocate for myself or participate in anything. It was only towards the end of the year that I spoke up. I think I said, like, "I want some water." And everybody just kind of froze, was like, "Oh,
She speaks.
Yeah, she speaks. And my teacher, based on that, decided to put me in the second grade, even though I was pretty much failing in all of my English courses.
There's an author's note at the back of Front Desk, and it describes this life that you had. So there you were trying to grapple with English, this new second language. Mm-hmm. And you were also running the front desk of your parents' motel, the motel that they worked in. And you describe it as you both loved and feared the front desk.
Right.
Can you explain what that means?
I loved it because I was able to get adults to listen to me, which is like every kid's dream, you know, to ask an adult, a 30-year-old, "Give me your ID." And then they would have to hand it over to this 8-year-old. So it was kind of thrilling in that sense. But I was also really scared because, you know, we would have different situations, like the police would come or, you know, something would happen with the customers and I would be blamed. So it was a little bit of a challenge for me as a little kid.
There will be people who will be very critical of parents who put a youngster at the front desk of a motel and she has to go to school and do her schoolwork at the same time. How do you react to that?
You know, I think that for a lot of families, it's not necessarily always a choice. You know, my parents came with $200 in their pocket. We struggled very, very hard in the States, and they took on some horrible jobs, and I was part of that. And when we got to the motel that we were managing, there were just simply too many rooms. There was no way they could clean all the rooms and man the front desk. And I decided, hey, I want to take this challenge. You know, I want to do this.
Kelly, what did you do? I'm trying to imagine an 8-year-old running the front desk in a motel. What was your life like? How were you doing it?
Yeah, it was hard. You know, it was hard to get the customers to treat me with the respect that they would give my mom, you know, like an adult, you know, because I would say something like, "It's time to check out now, sir." And they would be like, "Nuh-uh," you know. So it was really hard. And I had to work really hard at that. And I really prided myself on my customer service skills and just trying to make everybody happy and feel at home. That was a big part of the story as well, as the community, because we did have regulars living in the motel and they were called the weeklies because they paid by the week. And we became a sort of a little family. And they were the ones who really taught us about America, you know, that it wasn't this fairy tale place where, you know, you get to live in a house with a dog, and that there were nuances to that.
The family in the book, the Tang family, they hide and they support immigrants.
Right.
This is such a, it's so topical right now. Mm-hmm. And you have been wading into conversations about immigration today.
Yeah,
I know,
absolutely.
Because you posted about it. Why?
I think what's happening with immigration is heartbreaking to see families getting separated at the border. It doesn't stand up to the values that America is supposed to espouse that is, you know, an inspiration to people all over the world. It's inhumane, some of the things that are happening. And I think it all comes down to a lack of understanding of immigrants and what they have to go through and how they contribute to our country. And so I hope that through reading this story of a little girl, it really opens people's eyes, especially children and the next generations, so that we have more empathy.
I was surprised at a particular era of pushback. I wasn't expecting it. And it came from a Vietnamese-American writer called Viet Thanh Nguyen. And he is a Pulitzer Prize winner. He didn't like your book. And his critique was it made all Asian Americans feel bad about themselves and gave Asian American tiger parents another story to tell their underachieving kids. Thanks, Kelly. I didn't get that. Do you understand it?
I think that he was responding to a tweet where I talked about, you know, the fact that immigrants who come with no English, it doesn't mean that they can't succeed. And my story is after working in the motels, I had an opportunity to go to college early and I took it and I went to college at 13 and then I went to Harvard Law School. And I think that I don't know if he's read Front Desk, but I think he was responding to like sort of the later part of my bio and thinking that I was sort of the product of tiger parents and that I was this overachiever, when in fact, my parents struggled to just put food on the table. They didn't have time to even know what I was studying. And half the time, they were just too busy doing all their stuff to just maintain our lives. I got a lot of support from teachers and librarians. They were the ones who really made me who I am and gave me the confidence to be a writer in English, which my parents always called English, you know, the white kids' language. Like, why bother? Why bother thinking that you could do a good job in English when and you weren't born with it. So I think he just sort of maybe didn't know the whole story.
If there was a message that you wanted to leave kids and their parents with, what's your takeaway for them?
I think the message is that we're a community of many, many, many different types of people from all walks of life. And we need to do a better job of reaching out to each other and listening to our stories, whatever they might be, however different, and not feeling this shame. Because when I was working in the motels, I never once had a friend come over because I thought it was weird and embarrassing that I worked in a motel. So, you know, just imagine what that's like growing up to never have a friend come over, like not for a single birthday party or anything, because I felt that that was just the wrong narrative. And the fact that this book is out there and is such an unconventional story, I think will hopefully inspire a lot of kids to say, hey, this is my life and it's awesome. And, you know, I want to share with you. And when we have more of that, that's how we're going to get more empathy.
Kellyanne, thank you so much for being on Here and Now. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.